Mr. Pump.
Eat.
The signal you are receiving is coming from deep inside of FEMA Region 1, well within the battle lines of the municipal corporation known as the Commonwealth of Taxachusetts. Radiating out to the darkest corners of Al Gore's internet from our secret broadcast bunker, cleverly disguised as a middle-class living room, this is Red Pill Politics.
Patriots and socialist distancers, it is time for your weekly dose of Red Pill Politics. That's right, the show that is like toilet paper for your mind. Welcome to the show. It is Sunday, November 19th, and next week, Thanksgiving. All right, we're heading into the Christian holidays, where I expect there probably to be lots of havoc. All right, The social justice warriors are already out there ready to tear down Christmas trees and burn Christmas trees and basically attack Christianity. So be ready for that, all right? Head on a swivel as you're out there and about this season. But please do actually take the time to spend with your family and be thankful. All right, let's get down to the basics here. Leave all the commercialization, leave all that crap out of it. We don't need any of that stuff. Let's take the time and actually be thankful. All right, spend the time with our family. I think that's what's needed most is a reconnection there. So focus on the basics. I think that would be an awesome thing to do is to get back to spending time with your family, realizing what's important. Because the most important things in the whole world are inside your home, okay? Are the people around you. And we've got to reconnect with that. So that's my suggestion. Welcome to the show. Hello, and I hope you had a wonderful week. It's been a pretty fashionable late fall type weather up here. We had nice crispy frost this morning up here in New Hampshire. And all the leaves are down pretty much, except for a few of the red oak. They love holding on to them. But we're getting ready. We're getting ready. You can see the change in the wildlife. We're going to get a cold snap that's going to hit us here and freeze the ground up, and that's going to be it. But getting ready. I was out there. A friend of mine stopped by today. Really appreciate his help. One of my Patriot buds up here did a little bit of site work here and getting ready actually for next spring. Want to do a little work on the well house to get that secure through the winter and also do some site work because I do plan on having a rather impressive victory garden. All right, I am definitely not going to do a whole lot of shopping for food and not too distant future. The prices are just going crazy right now, and they shouldn't be. All right, y'all know something's wrong. Everybody knows something's wrong. All right, they can't quite put their finger on it. They don't always know exactly why things are the way they are. They tend to go out and regurgitate the musings of the prostitutes as to their thoughts on what the problems are. But in reality, the federal government gone completely off the reservation, forgot all about constitutional restraints, and in particular with the Commerce Clause. I've talked about this before. You know, there's a mandate on government to keep commerce regular, not to regulate it to death, but to keep it regular, remove obstacles. All right, that's it. Prevent monopolies. But they create obstacles, which I basically call, you know, engineered scarcity, artificial scarcity. The laws of macroeconomics, regardless of who you are, whether you're a you know, tried and true capitalist or a communist or a socialist. It doesn't matter. The macroeconomics here of supply and demand is real. It exists. We the people want and need certain things in our life, and you know that's where you know the demand comes from. And in a free market capitalist society like we're supposed to have, all those entrepreneurs and businessmen out there and businesswomen, and there are only two, would you know research the market. You know, if you're smart, you're going to go out, do a good business plan. You're going to research the market. How much of a demand is there for your widgets? And if they happen to live or, you know, be near an area where there's a vacuum, where there's a need, where the consumers want for something, and there's not much of it there, the prices go up. And in a free market capitalist society, entrepreneurs will fill that void. Now, when you get into socialism and communism, this is where business activity is dictated from the top down. All right, you are going to be a potato farmer. You're not going to get to grow what you want. You are growing potatoes. And should you decide you don't want to grow potatoes, well, then you're no longer in agriculture. You know, goodbye. We don't need you. And artificial scarcity is a way to get people there. And that's what government's doing is, though, and I'm going back, man, almost a year, I told you that if you think you want to own your own private transportation, your own car or truck or whatever, then you damn well better expect that all of the cost associated with maintaining that vehicle, or even having access to it, all right? Let's say you're not one of those that's falling for this whole electric car nonsense, and you just want to buy a decent, well-running truck that runs on gas or runs on diesel or whatever, and that's your choice. Well, you better be ready to pay crazy, crazy prices for everything, from the fuel that you put in it. With governments creating artificial scarcity, we've seen and witnessed that over the last year alone, let alone the dabbling that they've done in the market as government and, you know, the big petroleum companies are in bed with each other. They make sure that, you know, they're all enriched by the policies that are passed. But, man, this is going to trickle into everything. We got government now saying you can't have propane heaters, you can't have hot electric hot water heaters and all kinds of stuff, creating artificial scarcity. And when you go out to try to say your boiler goes and you got to replace a part, well, you know, maybe the part's not even available, forcing you to adopt their technology, whatever they're pushing. If it happens to be available, don't you think for 1 minute that you're going to be able to get it at a good, decent price? Because they've created artificial scarcity. When that happens, when the demand for something exceeds its availability, the few of those things that are available, the price skyrockets. So yes, every single time you spend a single one of those Federal Reserve notes and you go, oh my God, you know, this, you know, $20 piece of meat now costs $50. What has happened here? What's happened to the supply line? Why is it that this piece of meat, why isn't it in, you know, such vast supplies of it that the price is low? It means it must be scarce. Why is it scarce? You know, you can reverse engineer this and think it through for yourself. Don't just look at the prices and think that the people that produce those things, the farmers, the ranchers that grew that beef or the vegetables and other produce, don't think that they're just out to gouge you. Because you can go very easily, hit YouTube, anywhere, and you will be able to see farmers dumping milk on the ground because they were told they could not sell it. Tilling things in, saying, well, you know, it's the same way when the U.S. government and their foreign policy got us involved in Afghanistan, and they tried to make you believe that the Taliban was running around the countryside murdering farmers and that they had to go in and protect the farmers. They weren't going in to protect the farmers, right? Because they weren't growing tomatoes and carrots. They were growing poppy. In the Taliban, what they were doing is a form of price control. They wanted to make sure they were getting top dollar for their drugs on the streets of America as they went in, and they paid those farmers to burn their fields. Said, thank you, you did a great job, you grew a wonderful crop. In fact, you did the same thing last year, and we got so much of it out there now, we can't charge as much for it. So they still paid the farmers. The farmers got paid. All right, they weren't being murdered. They were being paid. And when the United States came in to protect them, and I'm doing my little air quotes here, they weren't protecting the farmers. They were protecting the poppy. They were protecting the poppy. They wanted to be able to control the tap there. And that, you know, the globalists, in China, people like that, nations like that, would just love to see drugs just flood into the streets of America and take us down. All right, because all the U's and the me's out there, we're the gears and the cogs that make the economic machine purr. And what happens when a society loses its work ethic? You can be paid to stay home, and it becomes so enticing. And then around these people who have so much time on their hands because they're not at work 8, 10, 12 hours out of the day, they're home watching TV and maximizing their entertainment input in a sea of drugs around them. Or, you know, a fraction of our society are drug addicts right now and actually unemployable. I mean, this is all meshes together, and as you think about it very nicely, and we are steeped in what is without a doubt a willful attempt by the globalists to make sure that this is a systemic thing, that we are not allowed to leverage the power of the free market. All right, that's way too much independence. If we had that, the ability to feed ourselves, like I told you, one of the things that took me years to understand, my grandfather said, you know, it really only now is sinking in. But he said one of the most rebellious or defiant things that you can do towards government is to feed yourself. Because what a leverage that is over a population, you know. Yes, I know you're hungry. You're, in fact, starving. We will give you food. We won't even charge you for it. You come, to the post office, get checked in, make sure you're chipped, make sure you're vaccinated, make sure all this little checklist of things that you can do, and we will give you food. Now, you know, that doesn't sound like independence. So anything towards that, I started saying, you know, if you want a single family home, you better be independently wealthy, because that's really not in the cards. And even those that are wealthy may find that it's just not possible as they deconstruct the countryside. Single family homes, by the way, if you go to the UN and take a look at their biodiversity assessment report, they never really told us, you know, what sustainable development is. They were always pretty nebulous about that. Left it up to our imagination to conjure up all these utopian visions of a sustainable world, all right, where rainbows are shooting out of everyone's ass and everyone just got along great, all right, and let us conjure that up. But in reality, what they did is they published something called the Biodiversity Assessment Report, where they didn't tell you what things were sustainable, but they told you what things were not. For example, single-family homes, private transportation, all right, fences and pastures, because you see the cattle artificially compact the soil, you see. All right, the whole rambling list of things that are unsustainable. Work and home air conditioning. Consumerism. All right, consumerism. All right, you'll have nothing and like it, we were told. This is what they meant by that. This was in the biodiversity assessment report, you know, a couple decades ago. And now you hear Klaus Schwab saying you'll have nothing and like it. They're the same thing. That's what he's talking about. All right, so wouldn't you like to sit down with Klaus Schwab, you know, give him a truth serum and say, oh, and just go down the biodiversity assessment report. What is the World Economic Forum's position on single-family homes? What is your position on private transportation? Go right down the list. And you will get back an Orwellian worldview of the slavery they expect you to adopt. All right, that's why you're seeing bike lanes where there's no bikes. They're trying to force. There's, you know, we don't have a shortage of bicycles. Yet government would have you think that. I keep trying to challenge them as they were coming into my town, because they what they've done now in most states is any improvements to your road infrastructure. I don't care if you got archaic streetlights that are constantly broken. You want to just put in new streetlights? Oh, we'll give you streetlights, but we, you know, you've got to adopt our new sustainable road plan here. And that could include medians and islands in the middle of the traffic lanes, just to, they call them traffic calming measures. But essentially to make your drive a miserable hell. Getting to and from anywhere, roundabouts, islands, speed bumps, beautification, little planters, and all kinds of crap that look and sound nice, but really interfere with the flow of traffic. All right, they did it in the town that I just left. For years, they were complaining. All the businesses and the people in town that shopped at businesses were complaining about no parking. No parking for all, you know, they've got great places that we like to go and shop at, but there's no room to park. You have a meeting at town hall that's a contentious issue, and there's no place to park. So what did the Brainiacs do when they did improvements to the lights and to the rusted out water lines and whatnot? Is they forced bike lanes, right? They forced bike lanes. Yeah, that's just the thing you need when you need parking spots, right? Is eat up all those parking spots with bike lanes. And I challenged them. I said, listen, how about this? All right, Mr. Selectman or City Councilor, you and I will go out right in the center. We had a main intersection right in the center of town where two major routes came together. And it's just where the center of town laid out and developed. And I said, let's go up there, bring our lawn chairs and a clipboard, all right? And I will count every bicycle that comes through. You count every vehicle that comes through that is engaged in commerce, that is a commercial vehicle, you know, providing goods and services to the people in this town, all right? And let's see where the demand is. Of course, they never take me up on that. I mean, because you find out that, you know, almost no bicycles went through town. But I'll tell you what, every other vehicle was commercial. We know where their precedents are. A quick break. This is Red Pill Politics. You are listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. You stay with us. We'll be right back after these messages.
You might not sing a bit like Elvis, but a good groove will make you shake your pelvis. Oh, night long.
Attention, freedom-loving patriots. Are you ready to dive deep into the principles that founded our great nation? Join me, Peter Serafin, and the Institute on the Constitution as we light the way to a brighter future with the Liberty Lighthouse Classroom. At liberty-lighthouse.com/classroom, you'll find a treasure trove of online courses on the U.S. Constitution, carefully crafted to empower you with knowledge to defend your rights and liberty, whether you're a student, a history enthusiast, or just a concerned citizen. These courses are for you. Gain a comprehensive understanding of our Constitution's principles, the wisdom of our founding fathers, and how to apply them in today's world. As a special offer to our freedom-loving listeners of Republic Broadcasting Network, use coupon code RBN at checkout and get 20% discount on any course. Join the Liberty Lighthouse Classroom and be a part of the movement to uphold the values that have made our nation exceptional. Unleash the power of knowledge and protect what truly matters, our Constitution. Visit liberty-lighthouse.com/classroom today. Don't miss this incredible opportunity. Use code RBN for 20% off. Together, we'll be the beacon of freedom our founding generation envisioned. Liberty Lighthouse Classroom. Illuminating minds, empowering patriots.
Did you know the IRS publicly admits that income tax is collected by voluntary compliance? Get the information you need to help you avoid income tax with these 5 easy steps. All you have to do is go to avoidincometax.com to get your 5 easy steps on how to avoid the IRS income tax. Escape the IRS. Let avoidincometax.com help you. We guarantee our 5 easy steps or your money back. Go to avoidincometax.com.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Welcome back. It's Red Pill Politics, and you're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. You can check them out. Should have them in your favorites, republicbroadcasting.org. There you can find programming 7 days a week. I'm sure there's other programs that you'd love to check out and share around, so please do that. We got an archive of all the old shows there, all the different programmers. You can go and read about them. And share them, all right? And hit that donation button, because we are entirely listener-funded. You're hearing the show right now because of people like you. So please support what we do. We want to keep the signal going out, and we want a bigger footprint, all right? I want a bigger footprint. I never am happy, I got to tell you that, when it comes to outreach like this, because there's a sense of urgency that I feel now that I've not felt my whole life. And it is critical that enough of us wake up together soon enough to hopefully save the Republic. I don't want to sound melodramatic, but we are on the verge of losing our country. It's there. What's been in the works for generations is coming to is becoming ripe right now. And we need people awake. We need calm, cool, collected people, man, because panic is about the worst thing that you could do in a moment of crisis. So we want to avoid panic, increase the knowledge and situational awareness of what's going around you, where the real power centers are, and they are with you. All right, the yous and the me's out there. That's right. It's us that makes things happen. All right, so stick with us and make sure that you support this network, other independents out there, because the mainstream prostitutes, you know, I go through and I watch them every day, not to be informed, but to see what they're pushing. They are actually part of the deep state apparatus at this point. They've gone right beyond useless and right into the realm of dangerous. They're a direct threat to our republic. So educate yourself, seek out as much information as you can from multiples of sources, all right, and share it around. Republicbroadcasting.org is a great way to do that, so please do. Now, that being said, there's two ways that you can participate here. This is a participation sport, you see. But there are two chat rooms where you can get involved. You know, share links, ask questions, things like that. And one of them is redpillpolitics.chattango.com. There you will have a moderated chat room that's moderated by volunteers here at the station, as well as my Rumble channel. All right, I'd love to have you if you haven't yet. Please do go down, subscribe to our channel on Rumble. All right, we want you there, and you can find links to that and all of the little footprints we got out there as they blink on and off social media can all be found at my website, redpillpolitics.tv. So get involved, share the show around, get on notifications if you could, and stay up to date. So let's move on. Here's a few things I got on my my list. I'm pretty much ready to go here today. I got my list of notes, got my coffee, got my dog Fletcher here giving me some moral support. So I'm looking for a good show today. But let's see here. Massachusetts looking to ban supplements. All right, they're not banning drugs. All right, they're not banning meth. They're not banning anything like that. Oh, no, 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 no. They're banning supplements. They're saving you from yourself. The J6 committee appears to be a committee of treasonous little tyrants. Some of the additional J6 videos are coming out, and we now see the creatures like Liz Cheney. And here's a woman that, I don't know, folks, in all seriousness, this woman doesn't pass the sniff test. She comes from a tainted bloodline. I mean, look at her pappy. Look at the damage he did to our republic. All right, the nut don't fall far from the tree here. Now, Liz Cheney went out there with great, great repetition, showing just little, tiny, highly edited little clips of all the footage that exists, and said, this is the sum total of what happened on that day. And literally constructed the insurrection in that committee. Well, we'll see. There's going to be a lot of analyzing going on there. So we're going to talk about that and a few other things right after these messages. Listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, and this is Red Pill Politics. Stay with us. Be back in a moment.
The edge of speak of a lie, shrouded in secrets and mysteries. Bloodlines of history, they sit at the top, counting all the gold they have robbed common men. They put their puppets into place, then pull. Slide of hand, twisted evil plan. Is it too much to
I want the truth? You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org. T-O-M at republicbroadcasting.org.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Politics. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Please do head over there, check them out. We have got another book of the month going on. The way this works basically is every donation of $100 or more, your name is put into a drawing to win one of the books from John Stadmiller's personal collection. All right, John created this station many years ago. He was a pioneer in internet radio, did a fabulous job developing this network, and this is part of his personal library. The good part is that if your name is not drawn, it's thrown back in for subsequent drawing, so you get to win, or an opportunity to win, more than once. So please do check that out. Get a little memorabilia from John Stadmiller himself while supporting what's going on here at the station. Donations big and small. If you can do $5, do $5, whatever God puts on your heart. But support independent media where you can, because we're where it's at. We're going to be the new mainstream. J6 committee They've committed treason. A lot of us knew this a long time ago. We knew this was a story that they fabricated to cover up their coup in November. Okay? We all knew. Those of us that are longtime listeners of the network or my show, you guys tuned in pretty good. But the rest of the world is about to see the rest of the footage and what really went on there. I mean, they got clips of feds scooping up other feds that are dressed as Trump supporters, you know, walking them in the back and uncuffing them, doing a little fist bump. You know, the assault that they fired upon the crowd when the crowd had done nothing. Right. So who initiated the violence is going to come out. Who orchestrated it? And I say a lot of what was orchestrated happened inside the Capitol and not by any of those, that million people that showed up outside. I'm talking about the Nancy Pelosi's of the world and that whole dirty little network that she's attached to. So we're going to talk a bit about that. And, of course, the Holly weirdos. Oh, yes, indeed. We've got to pay attention to them now. They're starting to get nervous that we're not paying attention to them. So there's gaggles of them out there pledging again to leave the country if Trump is elected. These rotten liars, many of them already pledged to do that. Yet here they are stinking up the place continuously. They didn't leave. Madonna said she was leaving and went to, I don't know where the hell she went to. But, you know, that was just to, you know, go off and, you know, whatever. That was a vacation for her. She came right back. You know, what a little cry for help she become. So, yeah, Holly Weird, I don't want to use the word boycott because that'll get you in trouble, you see. But I thoroughly enjoy exercising my preference of entertainment in such a way that will never see a thin dime from me go towards anything Hollywood. The heck with them guys. They're just a gaggle of self-entitled, aggrandized perverts. You know, and I say if you want to leave, you know, don't wait for Trump to get elected. All right, because Trump's just one man who probably can't stand you. You know, 3/4 of the rest of the nation has had it with you boobs. All right, leave. Leave now. I know people that will pledge and follow through with a one-way ticket to Venezuela or wherever you want to go. But the important thing is that you go. You're disgusting, and I can't. Everything Hollywood turns me off. There are very few. There's a couple of conservative voices out there, you know, and God bless them, you know, for not being communist little perverts. But, man, by and large, the whole industry, Disney, all of them, they all kiss my star-spangled ass. I've got a caller on deck here. Let's hop to the callers here. Been doing pretty good getting through everybody, and I want to keep that trend going. Let's start today's calls with Andy from Texas. How are you, Andy? You're on the air.
Well, hey, thanks, Dave, for taking my call. You know, I really got a problem with this reverse psychology stuff, you know, where they actually tell you what these other people did, but it's what they did instead of what the other people did. And that has a lot to do with the Israeli-Gaza scenario and stuff. They said Hamas attacked them. You know, they had 7 hours of free time, you know, on the most guarded wall in the entire world. They had 7 hours of free time that people didn't see this stuff. And then you got that concert and stuff that they actually moved 2 days prior to this 7-hour lock a window. They brought the dance hall and this concert and stuff over by the wall, and then they actually got out there with their Apache helicopters and shot their own people so they could tell us that Hamas did that. I mean, this war is so perpetrated, if you call it a war, it's so perpetrated, it's just like 9/11, and no wonder they're calling it, this is Israel's 9/11. It's so perpetrated, just like 9/11, that, I mean, what can we believe anymore? The beauty is that these people have planned it out. They realize that we're a stupid public. We're literally stupid. Not you, me, or the listeners out there, but the public in general is stupid. We will believe whatever the mainstream media tells us. And, you know, I keep hearing people saying that, we're winning.
Gullible, I think, is probably a more fitting word. Because, you know, in reality, as I talk to people, even ones with really warped anti-American worldviews, are not necessarily stupid people. That they have the capability, but man, they're driven by that need. It is, peer pressure is incredible. I don't think we ever really grow out of that. Peer pressure is very influential in young kids in school. They all want to fit in, and no one wants to stick out. And I think a lot of that stays with us, especially the progressives out there. Libertarians are different because they are free thinkers, you know, pretty intuitively. But man, I'll tell you, the rest of them just don't want to march out of step with everyone around them. They're very uncomfortable when they become the only no vote or the only contrarian to an issue. So, yeah, I think they're gullible. They fall for a lot of stuff, and they will take in that gaslighting because it makes them feel good and feel accepted. I don't know. Well, some of them are stupid, though. Then this doesn't apply to everybody. Some of them are dumb as a box of hammers. But, you know, by and large, I think they're capable. But when will they open up their mind to a dialogue with the other side? That's a challenge. You know, I love trying to get a lefty, you know, to put down your friggin' sword for a minute and let's talk. Let's try to find one thing that we can agree on and talk about that for a moment. Because, you know, I've done it successfully, and there's times where I've tried to do it, and they won't stop attacking. They don't take the time to have an intellectual exchange, so you never get a discussion off the ground. But I don't know. How many of them do you think are gullible, and how many do you think are legitimately just don't have the cognitive know-how?
Well, I'll say this. You said a very good operative word. People are uncomfortable, but they can't get above the uncomfortableness. We're going to sit here and watch these guys do this stuff to us because we're uncomfortable with it. We're not standing up to anything. You know, if you don't stand up to something, you're going to fall for everything, right? And sooner or later, we got to stand up to this. And all we're doing is just being patsies in our own right, because we're all talking big crap and talking, you know, bring it to my step. This can't happen in a small town or whatever. We're not actually standing up. We're standing down. And nobody really wants to do anything about this stuff. I mean, what's happening in Gaza is an atrocity.
It's that quest for perpetual comfort that you just mentioned. You're exactly right. People don't want to be nudged out of their comfort zone. So, you know, for that reason, they tolerated small tyrannies while they were tolerable. Now they're getting to the point where they are not tolerable, yet we've set precedent over generations that, you know, tyranny comes with the territory. There's just so many of you, you've got to give up some of your liberties for security. And, you know, yeah, that's kind of where we went. We never, ever should have tolerated the slightest infringement from these little tyrants. But we don't. We accept it because it's, you know, it'd be uncomfortable to stand up at a town meeting and call out one of your elected officials. People might furl their eyebrows at you. Maybe call you names online or something. Unbelievable. You know, wear that with a badge of honor. That's what I say.
And why are we afraid of that? What happened to humanity? Why can't we stand up to tyrants? Why can't we say, well, number one, January 6th. I think that's on everybody's mind. Look what they did. They hardly did anything, and most of these people are sitting in jail for no particular reason at all. Look at Owen Schroyer from Alex Jones' show. The guy's serving 60 days or whatever. He'll be out in December of 17th or some stuff. But he's been most of the time in solitary confinement and stuff. This is the thing, is they've done this. And guess what? Alex Jones promoted that. He should have just left it alone. Alex Jones and all the other people and stuff that are pointing all this stuff out that's happened to these different people and stuff, they're actually making us more scared. I mean, they probably have good things behind what they're saying, is look what they're doing to us and this and another. But because you're sharing all the really heinous stuff that's happening to these people, you're actually scaring people away from protesting anymore. You're actually keeping people from, hey, I'm not going out there. Forget it. Look what happened to Owen Schroyer. Look what happened to da-da-da-da-da, just, you know, Joe Biggs, all these different people. Look what happened to them. I'm not going out there. They're going to do the same thing to me if I get busted. So we're almost destroying ourselves with the news that we're presenting and stuff. But it has to be presented because people need to know.
Yeah, maybe you were about to say it there, and I interrupted you. I mean, what's your solution then? Because, you know, he's been saying this for over 20 years. You know, Alex Jones has been warning about this type of intrusion for that long, before that actual tyranny knocked at our door, and now it's there. You know, and if we don't sound the alarm and say, hey, well, what is this? This is not acceptable. You know, then what do we do? It sounds to me like you're, you know, tolerating another tyranny. I mean, it should be, in my estimation, flat out instant rebellion against tyranny every time, big or small.
Well, what we really need to do, Dave, is actually grow some balls here and actually make an attempt to take back our country. But currently, all we're doing is we're going to talk about it. We're going to relate to it. We're going to tell everybody all the tyranny that's happening and stuff. But nobody wants to pick up their gun and go do something. Not that that would do anything, but at least it would be something that America could go, hey, these guys, and of course they'll paint a picture in the mainstream media that we were just a bunch of white supremacists going after such and such or so and so. They'll probably throw a black guy in there that we were going after and stuff, because that's what they do, and they've got the control of we thought we were getting the narrative.
We do that all the time. We get upset and we show up in a rally, and no one really knows what the rally's about. No one said, you know, we got to define that, because if we don't, they will. So make your statement. Everyone's going to have that opportunity in the very near future. That numbnut, John Kerry, the environmental envoy there for climate change, he's got a hard on for farmers. He's come right out and said it numerous times now. What'd he say? Nope. The 33% of greenhouse gas emissions are due to agriculture. All right, well, you know what? Agriculture is responsible for 100% of our food. Yep. And for him to say that we're not going to reach net zero unless the farming community is front and center, well, in order to get that 33% down to zero, I mean, that's the destruction of farms. So we're going to have the opportunity to group up, get all your people together, and go to the nearest farm because they're going to be under attack. Let these farmers know. Tell them now. Say, listen, there's a tsunami of tyranny coming your way. I want you to know, as one of your customers, as one of your supporters, I will stand with you. And actually, literally do that. Stand there and deny them. Let the farmers continue to farm. And you may actually have to protect your food supply. I mean, what a novel thing. Sounds crazy, but that's where we're at.
Well, there you go. They're selling the narrative to us, which gets out on the mainstream media, and that's why Jim Carrey or John Kerry, whatever the hell his name is, I really don't care for these people at all. But this guy comes out and says, yeah, farmers are a big problem for the global warming problem, da-da-da-da-da, the methane gas, blah-blah-blah, whatever they're saying. They're setting the narrative. And then they're putting it out there, and then these collective people who are just droids, they're just people who really don't really give a rat's behind about life in general. They've never thought any deeper than, 2 + 2 = 4. They don't go any deeper than that. All they want to do is be on the surface of life, and that's what they're doing. And that's why John Kerry is appealing to these people. And that's exactly why we're going to have a serious problem here. But the real problem is that they've done a whole bunch of stuff to us to the point where men aren't men anymore. Testosterone is, that's a valuable product at this point. We can't find that in the man anymore. And guess what? I live in a small town down here in Fredericksburg. I'm with Steve and Alan and stuff down here. And I've seen some country folk that does still have the testosterone and stuff. And therein lies where I'm going to put my backing, because I'll be behind them or in front of them. I don't care. I'll lead the way. I don't care. But there are some still men in this country. And you know what? It's going to take a little bit more time before we can, because the kids coming up today, they don't have the testosterone that their fathers had and their father's fathers had. I mean, we're losing everything here, and these guys have done this. It's a fantastic plan. They've done it very well. They've orchestrated it very well. They've put it in our schools. They put it in our FDA. They put it into everything that needed to be done. It's a brilliant flipping plan, and I give kudos to Rockefeller and Rothschilds, because they're the simulators.
I agree with you on that they are what I'd say is deviantly brilliant. I mean, this was a very detailed, elongated, they were not afraid to roll this out over time. It was so grand that they had to do this over decades and over generations. And yes, they were deviantly brilliant in what they did. But right now, they are nervous. I know their fear. Because, at the same time, we don't talk about it. The press doesn't talk about it. But for example, this nation is currently in the middle of the largest homeschool surge that the country has ever seen. All right, the largest homeschool surge. That means they're losing that battle. The parents have looked at the schools as such sickening little institutions that they're dangerous to the development of their children, and they're pulling them out. What an awesome thing that is, in a cold breeze up the skirt of the globalists. Because that's their connection. That's the longevity. They knew that if they could pump out just a few generations, it doesn't take much. And we're kind of there. We're seeing the repercussions of that. But they're losing that. What happens when we hit that magical point where every single municipality, every city and town is forced to have the public debate around budget season, whether to invest any money in their public schools anymore, or their government schools, should I say. Because let's face it, what's that percentage? Is it 30% of it unenrolled? Is it 50%? But there comes a point in time that forces the discussion on either what the hell have we allowed them to do to our public schools, or do we even need them anymore? Because we're almost there. There's, you know, they still keep homeschooling as the best kept secret. But go and this is my challenge to everyone listening right now. Call your school district and ask them flat out, what is the number of homeschoolers in the district for your town? And I think the number will floor you. And most people have no idea that many parents pull their kids out. Yeah, that's happening. And other things, economically, people are pushing back against the CBDC. The ESG score, that was brought out and exposed early on. And now they're hitting resistance. And now the globalists are saying, well, maybe we don't need that. They'll probably just do a name change, you know, and keep pressing. But don't you sense that they're nervous right now, that we're on to them, and the genie's out of the bottle? I don't think they're going to put it back in.
Well, I would agree that, yeah, they've got us on the sense that the genie is out of the bottle, and yes, we are kind of taking control of everything and stuff, but is that controlled as well? Is this part of their plan? They want us to get angry? They want us to stand up? They want us to revolt, so to speak?
I mean, when a nation comes to the realization they've been lied to, and their wealth is being destroyed, their sovereignty is being eviscerated, anger is a common sense reaction to that. So I think they expected that anger, and I think they're deviantly brilliant enough to have contingencies for it. So yeah, they've got all kinds of things in the mix. You know, these false prophets to come in and, you know, maybe help relieve a little pressure out of the system, but keep guiding them back into, you know, the deep state's arms. But we've got to, you know, show discernment. And I'm seeing greater discernment from people. They're not buying up everything that they see and hear, and they're starting to do a little extra research. And that's where this mushrooms, because when they do, we all gain a deeper understanding of these things as those facts are begin to share. There's so much out there. Your average little person could bump into key information pivotal to the global discussion at any time, anywhere.
Well, I'm concerned, Dave. I'm concerned that perhaps everything that's actually going on is actually they've plotted it out. They understand, you know, we let this much information out. I mean, look how arrogant they are with this Joe Biden. Look how arrogant they are with this Israeli BS and stuff. Look at all the protests they're saying are Hamas protests, but they're actually pro-Palestinian protests, and it's far more than the people are protesting for Israel and stuff. And, you know, Mr. Kissinger came out in like 2014 and said by 2024 Israel will not exist anymore. You know what I'm saying? So they're actually plotting the death of Israel. They're plotting the death of everybody. They're plotting. These people have wrote a serious story about how they want life to be, and it's playing right by that book that they wrote. We're going down as a humanity exactly the way they programmed it. And let's go to the Bible for real quick. Is the Bible a script for what they're going to do, or is it prophecy? That you got to discern between the two of them. You got to figure it out, because they are kind of going exactly by the Bible, and we're going right to Armageddon. We're going right to the beast and all this stuff. Everything is playing out exactly the way we saw it. Who could foretell the future like that?
Well, I don't know. Andy, hang in there. We got another break coming at us here. This is Red Pill Politics. It is Sunday, November 19th. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Share the show around. We'll be right back after these messages.
handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.